From Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took them by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Sometimes it's really easy to be joyful for others or to rejoice with them. Sometimes the news is just so good, like news of healing or hope or new job or new life. That's kind of what's happening in our scripture this morning. People have an easy time of rejoicing with the man who is healed. Sometimes it's a little more difficult to rejoice with others, though, especially if it's something we wanted for ourselves. You might know that you should rejoice with somebody, but if they've been selected for something over you or gotten something really great, a sudden windfall, that's a lot harder. It's a lot more difficult to rejoice with others when we aren't really joyful ourselves. But how do we go about having joy? Especially, how do we rejoice with others? The scripture we've heard tonight tells the story of Peter and John healing a man who's unable to walk. Peter and John are outside the temple, and they come across this man who is begging. Peter tells the man to look at them, and then he tells them that while he doesn't have any money to give him, he can give him something else, and that in the name of Jesus, he should get up and walk. And the man does. And then we're told that jumping up, he enters the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This, of course, causes quite the commotion at the temple. A man who everybody knows couldn't walk is suddenly not just walking, but leaping around the temple, praising God. And while this is great news for the man and for Peter and John and for those who believe in Jesus, the leaders at the Jewish temple are not nearly as amused. These leaders, they end up arresting Peter and John, and as the book of Acts continues, they give a testimony in the next chapter after their arrest. I actually want to look at that part of the scripture and read a little bit more. So in Acts 4, we're told that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it's obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading farther among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." And so they call Peter and John and they order them not to speak and teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John say, "Whether it's right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we have heard and seen. The healing and the rejoicing was too much for these Jewish leaders. They wanted to stop Peter and John, but they quickly discovered that they couldn't. Why? Well, first, because they just refused to stop. And also because the people were already praising God for what had happened to the man. The church was rejoicing. The church was known as people who rejoice. And it's really difficult to stop rejoicing people. It's really difficult to ignore rejoicing, as evident by the thousands of new believers we're told that the early church is adding in the beginning of the book of Acts. The early church was known for its joy, and the joy of the early church made others want to be a part of it. Unfortunately, today, as Christians, we often aren't known for our joy. When they do surveys today asking non-Christians what words come to mind when they think of Christians or the church, you're more likely to hear words like judgmental or boring than joyful. And guess what? Nobody really wants to be part of a boring group. But they might want to join a joyful group who also rejoices with them when they have blessings in their lives. That's exactly what we should be striving to be known as. We should be living in such a way that people look at us and think, wow, those people are so joyful. Wow, those Christians were so excited for me to join them, and they were so eager to know what was happening in my life. I don't often watch the TV show The Voice from start to finish anymore because it's quite the time commitment to watch an entire reality show singing competition. It's like multiple nights a week. But for those of you not familiar, The Voice is one of those singing competition shows where they try to find the next great star. The twist is that they have four famous singers forming teams, which they do so by listening to auditions without being able to see what the person looks like. But sometimes I do like to watch that blind audition part of the show at the beginning because it's really the best part. However, my favorite part of this is not actually the singing. It's the host of The Voice, Carson Daly. Carson Daly has hosted The Voice forever, and while it's possible I just like him because I've known him since my teenage days, it's more than that. During the blind audition, Carson Daly's only role is to stand with the family and friends of the singer in a room off the stage where they just watch the audition. If a judge picks one of the singers, obviously the family and friends are excited. However, nobody is ever more excited than Carson Daly. He seriously has more joy for these people than their actual family members and friends. And if all four chairs turn, meaning all four judges want the singer on their team, Carson Daly is going to start leaping and rejoicing more than this healed man in our scripture. So what if we as Christians got just as excited for others as Carson Daly does on The Voice? What if our joy for others was that overflowing? What if we really cared that much for others? I've heard joy described this way: Jesus, others, you. We put Jesus first, then other people. This is why we rejoice with others instead of being jealous of others, because we put other people in front of ourselves. Then comes us. Jesus, others, you. That's joy. So how then do we rejoice together as Christians? First, we must notice what God is doing. Peter and John were very clear as the healed man that this was the work of Jesus. Jesus was at work, and when Jesus is at work, there's always things to rejoice about. So we notice when Jesus is at work in our lives. But because we're talking about with rejoicing with others, we also notice what Jesus is doing in other people's lives. Sometimes it's almost easier for us to see Jesus at work in others because we're a bit removed. We might notice blessings that others miss or how Christ has transformed somebody. So we notice those things and point them out. We praise God. We rejoice in the goodness of God. Rejoice that Jesus is at work in the world. Be unable to stop speaking about all the good that God has done. The story of Peter and John healing a man who was unable to walk and the ensuing arrest and testimony that follows shows us that we as Christians are called to be people who rejoice. That we rejoice when we're blessed by God, but also that we rejoice with others. We're to praise God and be joyful for all that God is doing in the lives of others. Wouldn't it be great if, just like the early church, people today looked at us and thought, wow, those Christians are so joyful. I think I want to join them. That's what we're called to do, to be people of joy, to be people who celebrate with one another. Rejoice. Christ is at work